Welcome to the Tapping Insiders Club. This is your host, Jessica Ortner. By listening to this audio, you acknowledge that you have read and agree to the disclaimer located at www.tappinginsidersclub.com/disclaimer. We hope this interview gives you new insights on how to be a healthier and a happier you. Enjoy. Welcome to Tapping for Teens. We will be speaking to EFT expert Jen Goddard from arisetoday.com. Welcome, Jen.
Thank you, Jess. Thank you for having me.
I'm thrilled that you're with us because we're doing a lot of work in the club with children, and we obviously have a lot out there about adults. So what I'd like to hear is, why are teens something that we should focus on particularly, and how does working with a teen differ from, say, working with an adult or child?
Working with a teenager is very different than working with an adult. One of the main reasons is because they're not paying for it. And when their parents bring them in, sometimes they're resistant to change, sometimes not. And each child has to be treated very differently. So if they come in and they're angry and they don't want to be there in the first place, you have to address that issue. There's a lot of resistance to changing sometimes. They feel sometimes that they're not okay with who they are. They're at that point where they've already kind of established who they are as far as their identity. And so sometimes they're feeling afraid that who they are isn't being accepted and that I'm not going to accept them and I'm going to analyze them. So it's really important to kind of figure out where they're at and, you know, figure out, you know, what is the problem from their perspective as well.
Right. So you obviously work with teenagers that, you know, aren't your own teenagers. So my next question is, what's the difference between the people who are listening to this that want to work with other teenagers to assist them and those who are listening who are parents that have teenagers?
If they're a parent and they have a teenager, a lot of it, again, has to go back to accepting the teenager as they are. Because if you're asking someone to change a behavior, a lot of times they get that mixed up with changing a behavior and changing who they are. And, you know, a lot of teens feel very angry because they feel unaccepted. They're going through that phase where everything is about approval of their peers. There's a lot of pressure at school to be accepted. There's always a huge amount of pressure for any teenager dealing with the issue of being accepted. So their identity needs to be really accepted with who they are. So if you're dealing with your own teenager and you already have some resistance there, I recommend having a practitioner that's outside of the situation to help you with it. And if you're a practitioner that's working with teenagers, make sure that you build rapport with the teenager to start with. Because, again, if you're an agent of the parent and you're working for the parent instead of working for the teenager, you're going to have a lot of resistance to having that teen want to change in the first place.
Okay. So what can we do to build rapport with a teenager?
That is where you kind of want to come in and ask them about themselves. Kind of don't start off by, you know, asking them lots of EFT questions. Get to know who they are as a person. Get to know what their likes are, what their interests are. Sometimes if I know I have a teenager coming in, I'll change the way I'm dressed that day so I'm a little bit more casual, so they feel a little bit more comfortable with me. Sometimes I'll kind of match and mirror the way that they're talking so that they feel like they're talking more to a friend opposed to talking to an authority figure or someone who is trying to change them in the first place. And that can make all the difference in the world. A lot of times I also listen to what type of words they use, because if I have a boy who comes in and he's using words like dude or, you know, that sucks or whatever might be the case, sometimes I'll throw that in there too, and that kind of helps them to feel like they're relating a lot more to me.
Right. Now, you use the term match and mirror. And so for those who aren't familiar, what's that look like?
Matching and mirroring is an NLP term. And basically what that means is if you're working with a teenager or you're working with anybody, you want to kind of look at the person's posture or their breathing or the way they're sitting or just their whole disposition altogether and kind of match them where they're at. and wherever they're at, if you can kind of get in sync with them and you can kind of relate to them, people feel safer. It's just like if you know of a friend who is using the same words or shaking her head and nodding with you and stuff, a lot of time you start to build rapport. And so matching and mirroring is just kind of matching the other person's body language so that person can kind of feel safe and relax a little bit more and kind of let go. And then sometimes they start opening up from there.
Right. Now, when a teen comes to you for help or is sent by their parent, what are some of the challenges, or are there certain common challenges that teenagers face that can be addressed with EFT?
Divorce is a huge one. I get a lot of kids that come in here, their parents are going through divorce or they've been divorced and it has affected them in a number of different ways. A lot of them actually blame themselves for the divorce. Their self-esteem is affected by the divorce. I also see a lot of young girls that have pageant moms that are trying to put them in pageants, and the mom is controlling so many different areas of their life, and bringing them to me is just another area where they feel like they're unaccepted, and here's somebody else that's trying to change them too. So sometimes they end up developing eating disorders or weight-related issues. So I see those type of things that come in. I also deal with teens, you know, with sports-related anxiety. They're on a sports team, and that's a lot of pressure as well. So there's just a variety of different things that they come in for.
Mm-hmm. And when you're using tapping, I mean, tapping is something that's pretty alternative and for some people can seem pretty weird. How do you approach a teenager with this type of technique?
I kind of explain it very much the same way I do with adults. And so I just kind of explain it, and then I give a short demonstration. I show it on myself. I use a lot of humor with it, too, because, you know, you're already in a situation where they're uncomfortable because they're, you know, they're sometimes, like I said, afraid that they're getting judged for their identity. So if you can kind of break the ice and kind of help them to relax a little bit. And humor usually works pretty good. So I use the tapping points, and a lot of times one of the first things I do is I have them tapping on, even though I don't think this is going to work, boy, does this look stupid, boy, does she look stupid. and sometimes they can kind of laugh from it, and it kind of breaks the ice a little bit on it. And then I have them tune back into whatever the emotion was and stuff, and sometimes it starts dropping right there. But it's kind of an icebreaker when I have them basically saying that this looks stupid, I don't think this is going to work, you know, it just kind of helps them to relax on the issue.
Right. Oh, that's a really good point. Okay, so humor is a great thing, and making fun of it is a great thing to do.
Yeah.
Now, when you're working with a teen, it's different than working with an adult because you have this whole other aspect, which is the teenager's parents. And so how do they play into the work that you're doing with the teen?
When I'm working with a parent, every case is very different. And sometimes the parent is extremely controlling. And if that's the case, a lot of times I have to be very honest with the parent. And I tell them up front, I can work with your child, but at the same time, I have to work with you as well. Because if I get the child to change, or if I try to get the child to change, but you keep doing the same thing, you know, they're going to end up going back to the other way. Or in some ways, you know, almost every problem we have is a solution on some level. So if I help them to get over an issue and they no longer have this and the parent is still trying to control them, then they find another way of having a different problem that kind of keeps them safe or gives them a sense of control in the first place. So a lot of times it's telling the parent, we've got to work with you too. We've got to figure out what's going on in that regard as well. So a lot of times I'm working with the parent and the kid at the same time.
Okay. And, you know, when it comes to a teen that gets, you know, say, dragged into your office, what happens if they don't want to change, that if they don't actually see a problem in their behavior?
That's a great question. And I get that a lot. And a lot of it is what you have to do is you have to meet them exactly right where they're at. You can't judge them, and you have to basically say, you know, even though I have this problem and I don't want to let this go, it's not a problem for me, I accept myself and who I am, and you're not going to get me over this problem. And a lot of times I see eyebrows raise, or they they just kind of look shocked because, you know, I'm meeting them right where they're at, and I'm not judging them on their behavior. I'm not judging them on what's going on because, again, I'm looking at it from the situation where I see that their problem really is a solution, and they wouldn't be doing it if it didn't meet a need in the first place.
Is that something that you explain to them?
Not at first. Because, again, when I'm working with them and stuff, it's just kind of like listening to whatever it is that they're experiencing. And you don't want to judge them. Because if you judge them on it, you lose rapport. And as soon as you lose rapport, then the wall comes up and they're not going to want to be open to anything. So I come from a very unjudgmental place to start with. And then after we start to kind of move through the issue and stuff, and we start to, you know, kind of ask them, you know, how does this meet this need? Or, you know, what would happen if you did get over this? And then I start asking other questions and stuff so that we can kind of figure out another way of having a solution. Sometimes what I do in that regards as well is I help them find their own solution. And it's a 10-degree shift, a 10-degree shift, and a 10-degree shift. Because if I try to get them to go from where they're at and actually look at the solution, they're not going to be open to that. But if I try to move them just a little bit and a little bit and then a little bit, then they're going to be open to it.
Oh, that's really interesting. Okay, that's a great point. And so my next question is, many people, when it comes to tapping, get stuck on what to say using the right words. And so how do you figure out the right words to use with teens?
When you're working with a teen, a lot of times, again, it goes back to listening to their words or their terminology. You know, sometimes it's, you know, even though I have this problem, I'm still a great kid. Even though they don't listen to me, my opinion still counts. I deeply and completely love and accept myself isn't really something that they're open to. So you kind of have to just twist it a little bit. So if I'm working with a girl and she's kind of rebellious, it's, you know, even though I have this problem, I accept myself and how I feel. Even though I have this problem, I'm still a great kid and nobody can take that away from me. Even though I have this problem and I don't want to get over it, that's okay. That's who I am and you're not going to change me. And so it's that kind of, again, meeting them right where they're at is usually really a great place to start.
Okay, so that makes sense. So again, it's always about using their words. And a lot of times people like to use positive statements. So do you ever bring those in, and do you ever have to be careful when adding something, kind of leading them where you want them to go?
I do. And for me, I always have a rule of when I'm working with an issue, I start by meeting them where they're at on their words. And once we get the intensity down to about a 4, then I can start throwing in the positive words. I use a lot of reframes. And, you know, if you have seen some of the EFT videos and stuff with Gary Craig where you watch him do a lot of the reframes, it's about using words like maybe, probably, it's possible, I'm open to the possibility. And I kind of start throwing that in, and that's where I'm able to use what I call that 10-degree shift. And those type of words is where you can kind of get them to start kind of cracking the wall, breaking the ice a little bit on the issue, and kind of opening up to seeing things from a different light. And when you kind of throw that in there, that makes all the difference.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. And when working with the teen, I know that there's a certain amount of hunting that happens when you're working with anyone to figure out what the real issue is, what the core issue is. And so how do you get to that point? Does it take a while for them to begin to open up and to start revealing the core issues and beliefs?
In a lot of cases, it's not. You know, I've got them, especially when they come in for issues of divorce, they open up pretty quickly and stuff because they're just in a lot of pain. And, you know, they kind of, you know, it's just asking the right questions and stuff. And so you know, it's about asking them, well, what does that mean about you? And so a lot of times, as soon as they tell me what that means about them, well, I wasn't good enough, or if I was good enough, he wouldn't have left in the first place. And so then we kind of start working from there, and we can kind of move through it. I recently had a young girl, and she was cutting herself. And that was her way of having a sense of control, a sense of power, a sense of releasing the issue of the anger and stuff that was, you know, on the inside of her. And so really what the core issue was for her is she felt like she wasn't good enough. And again, this looks like a problem. And in some ways it was a problem, but at the same time, it was a solution. So when we got back to figuring out, you know, where she found the idea that she wasn't good enough, it was just a misinterpretation of something that her dad had done. And so, again, we started with her seeing herself as not good enough, and we shifted a little bit, you know, maybe it's possible he did see me as good enough. Maybe it's possible I saw this wrong. I was only 8 when I, you know, came up with this idea. It's possible I could have been wrong. And so, you know, again, it's just you kind of start shifting it, and you can kind of see the look on their face. Their expression starts changing, their face starts softening, and, you know, they start moving on their face. The color starts coming up, and you can kind of start seeing that they're starting to see things in a different light. Mm.
Can you share with us a few other examples of how you've seen tapping make a real positive impact in a teenager's life?
Sure. I've had a lot of kids that have come in for one issue, and it's changed a multitude of different areas in their life. I had a boy who came in, and he was getting really bad grades, and his mother told me he was so smart growing up. He got wonderful grades and couldn't figure out what was going on. And as he sat down and we kind of figured out what was going on, you know, I introduced him to the tapping thing, and I kind of made a joke at the beginning of it. Again, that's, it looks funny to them, and so we just kind of laugh about it. As I started asking him questions about the teacher and what was going on in the classroom and stuff, he was very angry at the teacher. And the teacher was part of the problem, but it wasn't the whole problem. And as he, you know, started to tap and let go of the anger at the teacher for what the teacher had done, it started to soften and soften the issue. And he saw that the teacher wasn't really trying to hurt him. It wasn't her intention. And if she didn't make an example out of him, then everybody would have been able to walk all over him. When I said that and we were tapping on it, it was like his whole total disposition changed and he felt unattacked. There was a second aspect to it in dealing with the stepfather, and his stepfather was doing the same thing. So the teacher was the secondary issue, but the stepdad was the first issue. And when we went back and he found that this was really what was the core of the issue, is that he felt like people weren't hearing him, and this was his only sense of power, was rebelling this way, but it really wasn't either one of their intentions to hurt them. It was really, you know, he was the oldest of 3 kids, and the stepfather needed to make an example of him, of not letting him walk on him, and so did the teacher. He kind of came from a different position, and that was just one session, and the mother had called me about 3 months later and said he went from being a C to F student to being an AB student. He was doing great and wasn't having any more issues, but it was just a misperception. And sometimes we just make those little tiny misperceptions, and when we're able to actually see that someone's really not trying to hurt us, it's just they've got to make an example. Otherwise, you know, everybody's going to do it. Then it makes sense, and the kid can let go of the issue altogether.
Wow, that is a fantastic story. And Jen, what advice do you have for other practitioners that might be having trouble working with teenagers?
If you're having trouble working with teenagers, meet them where they are. You know, sometimes, you know, as we get older, we forget that we were once a teenager too. And some of the difficulties and some of the issues with self-acceptance, make sure that you really do accept them where they're at, because, you know, they're trying to figure out who they are. They're trying to create an identity. They're trying to get acceptance from their peers and approval. And, you know, if you can accept them where they're at and come from a non-judgmental place, that's a really, really good place to be. If you also listen to them and really have a sense of generally caring about helping them, you're going to get them to shift their issue and move through whatever's blocking them a lot quicker. There's also having laughter in the session. If you can make them laugh and make the session fun, they're going to want to come back with you, and they're going to want to work with you and work through the issue. So if you can figure out a way to kind of get them laughing about different things or whatever, then you're going to break the ice, and they're going to want to work with you.
Mm-hmm. And what are your thoughts around parents working with their teenagers?
I really don't recommend it. I just think that, you know, they're already feeling so judged in the first place. Unless you have really, really good rapport with your teenager, then, it's probably not a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. And I would also say too that, tapping on yourself as a parent, tapping on your own frustrations around the teen, might really begin to change things within the relationship and having the teen feel, less judged when a parent can love and accept the situation.
It's huge because the parent has an idea of what they want their child to be like. And, you know, for the most part, a parent wants the best for their kid. And they want them to do good in school. They want them to excel in life. And when you have an idea of what you want someone to be like and they're not meeting those expectations, it can be extremely frustrating, you know, on both sides and stuff. So, yeah, it's important for the parent to be able to tap on accepting the kid where they're at and dealing with the behavior issues. Because when you push, they push back. So if you stop pushing, they're not going to push back, and that helps too.
Mm-hmm. Well, before we started recording, I was speaking to you about your work, and you said that many times teenagers come in and anger is an emotion that comes up often. So can you tell us about how anger shows up in a teen's life and how they're expressing it? And also, we talked about doing some tapping so people can get an idea of how you would tap with a teenager about anger.
Sure. Anger shows up in a lot of different ways. And sometimes it shows up in a very passive-aggressive way, and they rebel with bad behavior. Again, I've had young girls that have come in here, and their parents have wanted them to be, you know, pageant kids, and, they end up repressing and holding the anger and feeling like it's not okay to have. And so they end up eating and developing eating disorders from it. Sometimes they show it as ways of having destructive behaviors. Sometimes they just have outward fits of rage and stuff. And that's a way that they can control their environment too, because if they see that they're getting a reaction from their parents, you know, it becomes a solution. Again, I can't stress the fact enough that every problem in some way is a solution. So they wouldn't be doing whatever they're doing unless it didn't meet some type of need. So anger shows up in lots of different ways, and you just have to accept the anger and that the teenager where they're at and help them to be able to move through it.
Right. And I'm sure just having that space where they can give that anger a voice must be so liberating for them.
Sure, and a lot of times we do. When I'm working with them and stuff, a lot of times they won't outwardly say, I hate my parent, or I hate you, or I hate school, or whatever it is. And, you know, I throw that out there almost as a test to kind of see the reaction on their face. And sometimes their eyebrows raise up really high because they never really said that out loud. They were thinking it. And part of the value of tapping is it's about not keeping the issue down in the first place. It's about expressing what's the real problem. So, you know, by letting them have the outlet of letting that out, that takes just so much of the anger away in the first place.
Right. Oh, that's brilliant. And so, Jen, with that, can we do some tapping, something that's kind of typical that you might see show up with a teenager?
Sure. Can you think of something that a teenager might be angry about that you would want as if you were a teenager coming in to see me?
Sure. What if we focus on like a relationship with a mother?
Okay.
And let me think, I'm trying to tap into my teenager self. I think rules are tough for teenagers. You know, you're an adult, but you still have all these rules and guidelines on how you're meant to live. So maybe the feeling of just being like angry at your mother and feeling really like restricted and not being heard.
Perfect. Okay. Well, go ahead and start tapping on the side of your hand.
Okay.
And then just take a deep breath. And then just repeat after me. Even though I'm really angry.
Even though I'm really angry.
I'm really angry at her.
I'm really angry at her.
I don't have a sense of control.
I don't have a sense of control.
And she won't let me do what I want.
And she won't let me do what I want.
And I'm so angry about it.
And I'm so angry about it.
I accept who I am.
I accept who I am.
And how I feel.
And how I feel.
I have a right to be angry.
I have a right to be angry.
I'm allowed to be angry.
I'm allowed to be angry.
I want to be angry.
I want to be angry.
And that's okay.
And that's okay.
On the inside of the eyeball, she won't let me do what I want.
She won't let me do what I want.
On the outside of the eye, I have to follow her rules.
I have to follow her rules.
And I don't like it.
And I don't like it.
Underneath the eye, I want to do what I want.
I want to do what I want.
She won't let me do what I want.
She won't let me do what I want.
Underneath the nose, and I'm hurt and angry by that.
And I'm hurt and angry by that.
On the chin, I want to be heard.
I want to be heard.
I want what I want.
I want what I want.
And I'm angry.
And I'm angry.
On the collarbone, I'm really angry about it.
I'm really angry about it.
And I don't like it.
And I don't like it.
Underneath the arm, maybe it's not her intention to hurt me.
Maybe it's not her intention to hurt me.
But it sure feels that way.
But it sure feels that way.
On the top of the head, maybe she's trying to protect me.
Maybe she's trying to protect me.
But it doesn't feel that way.
But it doesn't feel that way.
On the inside of the eyebrow, I want to do what I want.
I want to do what I want.
On the outside of the eyebrow, and she won't let me.
And she won't let me.
Underneath the eye, I don't like it.
I don't like it.
That she won't let me do what I want.
That she won't let me do what I want.
Underneath the nose, but it is possible.
But it is possible.
She's doing this out of love.
She's doing this out of love.
On the chin, I don't care.
I don't care.
I want what I want.
I want what I want.
On the collarbones, maybe she really is trying to protect me.
Maybe she really is trying to protect me.
Maybe she does know something I don't.
Maybe she does know something I don't.
But I don't care.
I don't care.
I want to do what I want.
I want to do what I want.
Underneath the arm, I'm really angry about this.
I'm really angry about this.
And I accept how I feel.
And I accept how I feel.
Take a deep breath. And at this point, I would ask you, did the intensity go up? Did it come down? Or how are you feeling?
And what happens if the teenager is more angry and is saying, you know, but she's being silly and she doesn't know what's good for me? I mean, what if the intensity begins to rise after tapping?
If the intensity begins to rise after we start tapping, I just say, great, good. At least we know where we're going with this. At least this is coming up and we can figure out where to go next with it. Because a lot of times they've pushed it down and sometimes it does rise. And if it does rise on it, then we know where to go to the specifics. Because right now we're tapping general and I want to find specifically what it is about the whole issue that's really upsetting her, what specifically is going on. So if that was the case and it started to rise, I would ask her, okay, so it's gotten more intense. What specifically about this at this point is making you upset?
Right. That is a good piece of advice because, you know, if for someone who doesn't know better, they might think, oh, well, the tapping's not working if the intensity is going up.
That's not the case at all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's something at a certain point, there's probably an emotion that had came up. So can you pick something that might specifically cause a rise of an emotion?
Well, when I tapped into it and I was thinking, I actually thought of a memory in my early teens when I wanted to stay at this party and my parents made me leave and I was so upset. Because I felt like they were overreacting and they weren't seeing the situation. They weren't seeing the reality of the situation. So I think maybe like you hear, teenagers hear that adults are supposed to know best and they're looking out for them, but the teen actually truly feels that they're a capable adult and that they know more than the parent. So it's like, does that make sense?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay. So go ahead and go back to the side of your hand and take a deep breath.
Okay.
Even though I'm really angry, I know best. I know that I'm okay. I know things will be okay. And they won't let me do what I want. And I don't want to forgive them. It's not fair. And I'm really angry about this. And maybe if I get really angry, maybe I'll get what I want. Even though I'm so angry about this, I'm really angry about this. Maybe the anger won't help me. Maybe the anger's not helping me. Maybe they really are trying to protect me. Maybe they are trying to serve me. And I just can't see that. Because I'm so angry. On the inside of the eyebrow, why would they do this? On the outside of the eye, they're so mean. Underneath the eye, they want to make my life miserable. Underneath the nose, they really want to make my life miserable. On the chin, they want to embarrass me. On the collarbone, they want to make my life miserable. Underneath the arm, and I'm so angry. And I hate them. Right now, I hate them. On the top of the head, I'm so angry at them. They won't let me stay with my friends. They won't let me stay at the party. On the inside of the eye, but they could be trying to protect me. On the outside of the eye, I'm capable and I can protect myself. On the chin, I'm capable, or underneath the eye, I'm capable and I can protect myself. Underneath the nose, but they don't know that. I was once their little girl. And maybe they're not ready for me to grow up. On the chin, if I had a little girl, I'd want to protect her too. If I had somebody I love that much, I'd want to protect them too. And I wouldn't want anything bad to happen to them. On the collarbone point, all that anger and resentment. At this point, I would ask the girl, if you had a daughter, would you want to protect her too?
Okay.
And so usually at that point, she kind of would look up at me and say, okay, I can see where you're going with this. And, you know, she'd start to soften on the issue. And so I would tap underneath the arm. Maybe my parents love me more than I realize. Maybe they love me a lot. And maybe they just want to keep me safe. On the top of the head, and I can be grateful for that. Not everybody's parents care as much as mine. They might not show it the way I want. But they must love me a lot. Because they are trying to protect me. I might not like it. But I can understand. On the inside of the eyebrow, all that anger and resentment. On the outside of the eye, I might want to let some of it go. Underneath the eye, but I don't have to let it all go. Underneath the nose, I can if I want to. On the chin, but I don't have to. On the collarbone, all that anger and resentment. at those people, at my mother, but she wouldn't let me do what I wanted. Because she loves me so much, and she's just trying to protect me. Maybe I can have some understanding and forgiveness. And maybe, if she trusts me more, if I'm nice about this, maybe I'll get what I want next time. Take a deep breath. And house the anger and resentment.
Wow, Jen, that was fantastic. That was really, really fantastic. And I can imagine what a relief it is for a teenager not only to express what they feel, but to really find a way to gently see another, the other side of things. Because it seems like reasoning can be so much harder. You know, when you try to sit a teenager and try to, like, reason with them. This seems like such a gentle way to let them see the big picture. I loved it.
And it is. It's, again, it's about a 10-degree shift and a 10-degree shift. And, you know, I try to throw words in there that they are feeling like, I hate them right now. I hate her right now. Just because they really are feeling that at the time. And when they get the opportunity to express that and say that out loud, and they feel that they have a safe place to say that, and I'm saying it too, then I'm not judging them for what they're feeling, and they really begin to start trusting me and opening up and letting go whatever really is the major blocks and stuff in there.
You made a very good point that they're hearing you say what, like, they know that you're listening because they're hearing you say what they're feeling, and you're tapping together.
Yeah.
I want to thank you so much for this because I know that it's going to help a lot of people working with teenagers. I know there's a lot of people out there who desperately want to help teens and don't know how, and so I think this is just going to be a good... It's going to really, really help people, so I cannot thank you enough.
Oh, no problem. Anytime.
And I'd like to remind the listeners to visit you, Jen, and learn more about the work that you do at arisetoday.com. And I will mention that Jen is based in Orlando, Florida, for any of you out there that are looking to work with someone. Again, Jen, thank you.
No problem.